Welcome to the weekly podcast from City Light Church in Lethbridge. For more teaching or to find out more about life at CLC, please visit our website at citylightchurch.ca.
I want to take us to the Christmas story to see what was really behind Christmas. See, there's a secret to what made that first Christmas so great. And we see it in Scripture, in the words that tell us of the love that would launch Christmas. And here's the verse. Are you ready for it? Let's look at it right here. Bring that Scripture up. John 3:16. For God so loved. Say so loved. So loved the world that he gave. Say he gave. He gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Here's why that verse is so central. What made the first Christmas so great to God is what God got to do. God so loved the world that he gave. That's what love does. That's how love expresses itself. Love expresses itself in giving, right? And that's what God does. That's who God is. That's who God really is. You know, I think a lot of people don't understand this about God. They don't understand that God is not a taker. What is God? Who is God? God is not a taker. God is a what? He's a giver. He's not a taker. He is so generous. His generosity is extravagant. It's continual. It's ceaseless. It's literally unstoppable. You cannot outgive God, right? And that's what the writer in Lamentations 3 verse 23 says, God, your mercies are new every morning. Great, great is your faithfulness. Like every morning God is saying, hey, did you like that sunset yesterday? Well, here's another one. Here's beauty for your eyes. Here's air for your lungs. You know, here's food for your body. You know, here's music for your ears. Here's friends for your heart. You know, and here's a purpose for your day. Here's a purpose for your life. All the time, God is giving, 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 and that's what he does all day long. God is a giver, right? He's so generous. You just cannot outgive God. But he had this one gift, he had been waiting for like years, for centuries, for millennia to give. And listen, when in the fullness of time, when God gave us Jesus, God literally outgave himself. He set a new record in compassion, in generosity, in creativity. I mean, he had this gift that he wanted to tell so much that he just couldn't contain it anymore. So what did he do? He announced it with angels. He just did it his way, his extraordinary way. You know, Christmas is literally God's announcement. Joy to the world. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. Amen? We sang that. Joy to the Lord, to the world. Love came down from heaven. Joy to the world. God stepped down. It was love that stepped down. God stepped down from heaven's throne. That's your first point. God came to earth in the form of a baby. Let's look at the words. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Paul said to the Philippians, he says to us today, you must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. And when he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God, and he died a criminal's death on the cross. And here's what the scholars call the deep stairway of a passage. Here's what reveals what is called the divine descent, when God stepped down. Here we see the measure of the depth of God's love for you and for me. Alexander McLaren was a great Scottish preacher in the 1900s, and he puts it this way: how far is it from the throne of the universe to the manger of Bethlehem and the cross of Calvary and the sepulcher in the garden? That is the depth of the love of Christ. That's the depth. See, this is the Christmas story behind the scenes, behind the angel choir, behind the bright shining star. Here's the rest of the story. The story is this, that the Son of God came to earth to save us and to love us. He did not lay claim. He didn't claim entitlement to all his privileges and rights. But for the sake of love, he gave up his rights and his privileges. And for the sake of love, you and I, we can give up our rights and privileges to one another without losing who we are. If the story be told, if the real story be told, we discover the unbelievable love of God. Let me explain it to you this way. God so loved the world that God changed. God so loved the world that God changed. He altered the mode of his own being. You know, think about it. Before Christmas, God was pure spirit. All the persons of God were all spirit. But on that night in Bethlehem, one of the three, the second person of the Trinity, altered his mode of being by taking on our humanity, thereby literally changing the relationships within God. Do you understand that? Suddenly the Trinity was different. Suddenly it was not all spirit. Suddenly flesh became a part of that Trinity. You understand that? God became what God was not. God became fully God, and he became fully human in order to set us free from this life of sin and death. God did it for us so that he could become the perfect sacrifice, the flesh and blood sacrifice of our sin. Because the Bible said, God said, there is no forgiveness of sin unless there is the shedding of blood. And he became the perfect, ultimate Lamb of God, the sacrifice for our sin. This is the unbelievable depth of God's love for us. Do you understand that? Point number two, this love of Christ, it never ever ends. It's eternal. He never lets us go. One of the most touching stories is concerning Pope John the 23rd. Let's bring that picture up. This is Pope John the 23rd. And one of the most touching stories about the Pope John the 23rd is about a day, several years ago, right after Christmas, when he went to visit one of the worst prisons in Rome. And it was the first time in 90 years that a pope had ever visited a prison. And when he met those prisoners and he greeted those prisoners, this is what he said. You could not come to me, so I have come to you. The Bible says in Matthew's Gospel 18 and other places that Jesus literally left the 99, he went after the one. That's what he does. He goes after the one. He goes out of the way just for the one. He looks for us. So we got to understand his love never leaves us. It never fakes. It never, it's always there. It never fails, right? It's there forever, right? I say God's love permeates your whole life from the beginning to end. Listen, he was there the day you were born. He was watching you being born. Right? He made you, right? He's going to be there the day that you die. You just can't get rid of God, right? He's there forever. You know, there are three types of love, and maybe you know this, but I'll go over this real quick on your PowerPoint. Three types of love. There's the eros love. What is the eros love? It's physical, sexual love. It's limited between two people, right? There's another type of love. It's called philia love. Philia, what is that? It's friendship love. It's broader, includes more people. You can have a group of people that you can love. It's friendship love. There's another type of love. You know what it's called? It's called agape. This is the unlimited, unconditional love of God. And it's for everyone. It's so broad, it's for everyone. This is a love that came down from heaven. This is a supernatural, sacrificial love. This is the love that the Bible says in Romans 5:5, that God poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. This is the type of love that you can get when you receive Christ into your heart. And it goes way beyond. This type of love is way beyond any human ability to love the way God loves. Shakespeare said, the milk of human kindness goes sour real quick, doesn't it? But God's love never sours. It never goes dim. It always goes strong. John chapter 1, 3 verse 1 says, see what great love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called the children of God, and this is what we are. I say this, you just cannot escape the love of God. You can't do that. Romans chapter 8, verse 38, Paul put it this way, so now I live with the confidence that there is nothing in the universe with the power to separate us from God's love. I'm convinced that his love will triumph over death, over life's troubles, over all the worries in the world, over fallen angels, dark rulers in the heavens. There is nothing in our present or future circumstances that can weaken his love. There is no power above us or beneath us, no power that could ever be found in the universe that can distance us from God's passionate love, which is lavished upon us through our Lord Jesus, the Anointed One. You know what he's saying? Your future is secure, right? He holds you in the palm of his hand. Your future is secure in God's hand. Somebody said, I don't know what the future may hold for me, but I know the one who holds my future. Amen? Number three, this is another thing about Christ's love. Christ's love is all-encompassing. Christ's love is so wide. It encompasses everyone. Let me put it this way. God has enough love for blacks, for whites, for browns, for reds, for yellows, and for everything in between, right? God's love is there. God has love for rich people, poor people, even middle-class people. God loves us, right? Right? God has love for liberals, conservatives, NDP, and even green people, right? God has love for everyone, right? God even loves a terrorist. God even loves a terrorist. God loves that family member who's always stirring up trouble in your family. God even loves that guy at work who just bugs you so much that, you know, you can't seem to get along with, right? God loves everyone. It's all inclusive. Is there anyone that God doesn't love? You know, is there someone in your life that you don't love so much that you think God doesn't love? God loves everyone. Absolutely no one is left out. Listen to this story of someone who discovered God's incredible, overwhelming love. Let's go to the next slide. This is Nabil. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing his name right. Nabil Qureshi. Nabil Qureshi was a Muslim convert to Christianity. Nabil met Christ in a small group, where he was able to literally talk about his faith. In this small group, his intention was try to win these Christian guys to Muhammad. But these guys, their intention was win this Muslim man to Jesus. But the evidence was just way too overwhelming in the fact that Jesus was really who he was. And then that's how he got saved. And then he'd gone on a quest. And, you know, he wrote this, and he actually passed away at 34 years old in cancer. And I was just wondering, why did you take this man at such an early age? But he played such a powerful, he was such a powerful influence. He led many, many Muslim people to Jesus Christ. And it says that, and he had a story, and it goes this way. Nabil Qureshi had a resolutely Muslim friend named Sahar. Let's go to the next slide. Sahar, who was attracted to parts of Christianity, but couldn't accept the idea of God becoming a human being. On one occasion, she honestly asked, how could you believe Jesus is God if he was born through the birth canal of a woman? And that he had to use the bathroom? Aren't these things beneath God? Qureshi affirmed her questions, then he asked her in turn, Sahar, let's say that you are on your way to a very important ceremony, and you are dressed in your finest clothes, and you are just about to arrive on time, but then you see your daughter, and she's drowning, she's covered in mud, she's drowning. Now, what would you do? Let her drown and arrive looking dignified? Or would you rescue her and arrive at that ceremony covered in mud? Her response was very matter of fact. Of course I would jump in the mud and save her. Nuancing that question once more, Qureshi asked her, let's say there were others with you. Would you send someone else to save her, or would you save her yourself? She responded, if she is my daughter, how could I send anyone else? Then they would not care for her like I would. I would go myself definitely. Qureshi said, if you, being human, love your daughter so much that you are willing to lay aside your dignity to save her, how much more can we expect God, if he is our loving father, to lay aside his majesty to save us? Wow. The biblical story of God eventually won Sahar's heart. And as Qureshi reported, the message of God's selfless love had overpowered her, and she could no longer remain a Muslim. She accepted Jesus Christ as her Savior. Wow. Nobody is exempt from God's love. Right? Number three, the love of God is personable. Personal. I don't know if you heard of this guy. This guy, in this next slide, his name is Karl Barth. Karl Barth was one of the greatest theologians of all time. One of the greatest in the world, recognized. He was even on the cover of Time magazine. He died in 1968. Karl Barth was invited to what he called a divine lectureship. He was invited to deliver one of the distinguished lectureships at a theological seminary in the East. And while he was there, a whole bunch of other groups of ministers and theologians met together with him and sat down with him in a kind of question and answer period. Someone asked a question. Listen to this question. Here's this guy, so well respected. You can ask him any question that you wanted to in regards to God and theology. Here's this guy asked this question. What is the most profound thought that you know, Dr. Barth? What is the most profound thought that you know? And this is what he said. Next slide. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. That's what he said. His love is very personal. Very personal, right? And his love for you personally is stronger than anything that can happen to you. It's stronger than your sin. It's stronger than your sorrow. It's even stronger than death, isn't it? And it undergirds, his love undergirds all our life. All our life with its theories and its flux. He's there. He never leaves us, right? John Greenleaf Whittier said it this way, I know not what the future hath of marvel or surprised. Assured along that life and death, God's mercy underlies, right? I only know I cannot drift beyond his love and care. His love is personal. It's so personal, isn't it? Right? So let me ask you right now. I'm going to ask you this question right now. Right now, are you sure that Jesus is crazy about you? Are you sure? Are you 100% sure? Not that God so loved the world, but that God loves you? Do you really believe, without a shadow of a doubt, that God loves you? Right? Or do you sometimes drift towards this insecurity? We say, you know what? Sometimes I'm not so sure. Sometimes I'm not so sure. I've been told all of my life, but sometimes I'm not so sure. Sometimes I don't know. Can I be really honest with you? I want to confess with you. Sometimes I'm not so sure. Sometimes I'm so sure that God loves me. But sometimes I drift towards insecurity. And sometimes I wonder, does God really love me? And when I start to drift towards insecurity, I find myself leaning towards trying to do good works, to trying to earn his love. You know, maybe some of you can relate to that. Can you relate to that? You know, sometimes I wonder, does God really love me? So I'm going to ask you another question, right? Right. First of all, are you sure that God loves you, right? Here's another question. Here's on your PowerPoint. Here's the question you can answer. How much do you think God the Father loves his Son. How much? What answer would you get?
Lots.
Totally, completely, perfectly, right? Right? That's what we would say, right? Look at the words in John chapter 15, verse 9. This is the words of Jesus. Just as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. So now remain in my love. Wow. Did you catch that? Just as much as, in the same way that God loves the Father, that's the way that Jesus loves you, right? Isn't that right? Now, shouldn't that verse have read where Jesus says, just as the Father has loved me, well, cut that in half, or cut that in a third, cut that into 20%, that's how much I love you, right? Wouldn't you think? Wouldn't you say that? Wouldn't you feel that way? Because sometimes that's the way we feel, right? The point is this. Some of us get the love of God, and that's so good. But some of us, like me, we struggle to believe that verse, right? I mean, he loves us that much? No way. Just as the Father loves Jesus, that's how much, you know, Jesus loves me, right? Now, sometimes, I'm going to tell you, I drift in towards insecurity, right? As much as the Father loves the Son, that's how much God loves you. But listen, the question is, how can you know that? How can you really know that and understand? Listen, you cannot have that type of knowledge by working at it or to try to attain it. You know, you can't just kind of study it and know it enough to just know it. You can't check it off in an exam and say, yeah, I got it. No, it doesn't happen that way. See, this is something supernatural. It's something supernatural. It has to be real, revealed to you supernaturally by the Spirit of God, right, for you and I to understand that. It's a supernatural revelation, right? I'm going to explain further. As believers, I believe that there are some things that are absolutely critical for us to understand. And I believe that this is one of them. There are some things in life that you just can't fool around with, right? You just can't fool around with. You know, it's like lighting a furnace. This last week, my daughter called me up and it's around supper time. It's just so cold in the house. The kids are freezing and the furnace is not working. She just got home. I says, please, Dad, can you come over and help me? I said, okay. You know, and so Karen's cooking supper. Now away from supper, got my coat. I just zapped over there because I'm concerned about my family. And I'm thinking at the same time, I don't really know too much about furnaces, you know. And I'm going over there. And I want to tell you, I'm insecure in my knowledge, right? I say, well, I know this much, you know. And I'm looking at, take the panels off. I'm looking at these wires and all this. And I go, holy cow, wait. What do I do with this? Well, all I know is, you know, it's gas. You turn it on. You hear the hiss. You just light a match and it'll just start. You know what will happen? It'd be like this guy. Hey, not sure if that was an earthquake or a furnace burning up. Next slide. Yep, it was the furnace blowing up. See, that can happen, right? It's dangerous if you're insecure in your knowledge. And I share that because insecurity is something that we just cannot mess around with. It's not enough to say, well, I think I know that God's loved me. I think I get this thing called the love of God. I think I understand His grace. No, it's not enough. We need to understand it. It's so vital, right? We need to understand that. The next point, the love of God is something we all want. We all need to be secure in. This is something that we need to be praying for ourselves. No, this is something that God reveals to us in prayer. This is something the Holy Spirit inside us can open up our minds and the mind and the windows of our mind and understanding just to reveal that to us over a period of time. This is something that we can know, right? This is something we have to seek to want to know and receive. It's so important. Here's the words of Paul in Ephesians 3:18. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And then he says this in verse 90, and to know this love. That word know is not a cognitive know. It's the word, it's the same word in Genesis where it says, and Adam lay with Eve and he knew her. It's to know, it's something about just head knowledge. It's heart knowledge. It's intimacy. It talks about relationship that's revealed. You know, it's something that's revealed to us when we have something more than just a surface relationship with Jesus. Amen? It's revealed to us. It's something that we can know. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Paul's prayer for the Ephesians Christians is that they would understand, they would grasp, they would know how high and wide and deep is the love of God, because it's so vital, it's so critical. You know, like Paul, my prayer for you today is that you and I, we grasp, we have a greater understanding, a greater security, and a knowledge of the love of God for us for personally, that we would become more solid, stable, wholesome people, and so that we don't have this thing called emptiness in our heart. There's so much emptiness. Look around you. Look at your neighbors. Look at people who don't have a relationship with Christ. You'll see an emptiness in them. And they're trying to fill the emptiness. You know what? We Christians, we can do the same thing. We can try to fill that emptiness with drugs, alcohol, success, money, right? Wrong relationships, right? Pleasure, right? All these things. We can fill them up. And it's like a